You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined once again by Jeffrey Flanagan out there in Surprise, Arizona, covering all things Royals this spring, and been a lot to cover. Jeffrey, I guess the big news from this past week is Luke Kochhaver. As we're recording this, it's March 18th, 1 year to the day from his surgery, and realistically, it takes a good 12 months, if not more, to get back to your old self from that situation. And it sounds like the Royals are going to go the slow play route with him, from opening day.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, he's not pitching any closer than 3 days apart, and as you know, that's going to be kind of hard. We just got 2.5 weeks left for them to condense that time period and make him a useful part of the 25-man roster on April 6th. So, and he's kind of known that. He told me this maybe a month ago and suspected that this might be the case. It's just they have a system for these Tommy John guys that they follow strictly. And I'm guessing that, probably 12 to 14 months or 12 to 13 months is more realistically after you have the surgery. So, there's a pretty good chance that he's going to start on a rehab assignment in Omaha come early April. And, they're right now saying he's looking so good that it might only be 1 or 2 weeks down there if he has to. But he's perfectly willing to do that. He knows it's a long season. He'd rather trade that off than rush back into it and, try to go back-to-back days or anything like that that might cause a setback. So, they'll miss him the first couple of weeks of the season, but there's certainly plenty of depth in the bullpen.
Yeah, we say it all the time. Opening day, it's great. It's fun. It's ceremonial. You'd love to have your best 25 on opening day, but it's very important to be at your strongest in September, as the Royals showed last year. So we'll see how that
It's a very fluid roster, throughout the year. So the 25-man you open up with is never the 25-man you end up with.
Never in your wildest dreams. And then they got a deep bullpen. There was talk earlier this spring about them possibly carrying an 8-man bullpen if Kochhaver was a part of that, and they needed to give him proper rest. But that just shows. I mean, they have the depth to account for his absence for a while here.
Yeah, they really do. I think they still a pretty good chance they still go with an 8-man bullpen, which might buy them a little time with the Rule 5 guy, Gustave. They still got Ryan Madsen, who they really like. They've actually are starting to stockpile left-handers here. They've been very impressed with Brian Flynn, who they got in the Aaron Crow trade with the Marlins, and he's looked very good this spring. Been a starter his whole career in the minors and a little bit in the majors, but he's been very effective in little, 1 or 2 or 3 inning outings here. And Franklin Morales, the guy they picked up in the offseason, pitched for Colorado for many years, and they're converting him back to the bullpen, and he's been very strong this spring. And I can't see any scenario where he does not make the team. He's been that good. And really, he was probably on the team the minute they signed him, the veteran guy. And then, of course, you've always got the Brandon Finnegan decision, which they're keeping their options open on that. They're trying to stretch him out to 45 to 50 pitches in case at the end of camp they want to send him to Omaha and, have him develop as a starter. But then they're backing him back down to 20 or 25 pitches in case they want him to be a short guy up here. So they're keeping their options open.
Well, I'd say the more frustrating situation is the second base with Omar Infante and his elbow situation, his elbow condition. Where do things stand with that? Is he kind of running out of time here to get ready for opening day?
A little bit. I mean, I could sense a tiny bit of frustration with Ned's voice the other day talking about it because, we've got, basically 2 weeks from Thursday they break camp, and they've got to find out whether their starting second baseman is going to be good to go. Kind of went through the same drill last year with him. Had the cortisone shot on the elbow area in March, and had to rush him to get to the starting lineup on opening day, and we're probably going to go through the same scenario again. I don't see him. He's feeling better. He's told me he's stretching out to 120 feet on his throws, trying to, snap off 60 or 70-foot throws, too, and he's feeling no discomfort. So if all goes well, he's been DHing for the last week or so, but if all goes well, maybe next week at some point he could actually get into a spring game. Ned thinks he needs about 10 to 12 games really to, you know, get comfortable and be good enough for the regular season. So we'll see how that develops. But, you know, it's kind of been an ongoing thing with Omar. He's a tough guy. I mean, he has a lot of injuries that he deals with. He got hit in the face last April, as you know, and, you know, fractured his jaw, his cheekbone. And he's had back issues, he's had shoulder issues, and, you know, still he played 135 games last year, which I think was the third highest in his career. So no one's questioning his toughness. It's just they just need to get him on the field.
So devil's advocate, if they're without Infante for any significant amount of time in April, what's that second base spot look like? Christian Colon step into there?
Absolutely.
You have to look outside.
Yeah, absolutely, Christian Colon. Yeah, there's not even a debate. It'd be Christian Colon.
But even
Colon's
for utility
job.
Role, who steps into the utility role in that scenario, in your opinion?
Well, he's got Ryan Roberts. If Infante would not be able to go, and maybe they carry an extra guy on the bench and go with a four-man bench, it would probably be Ryan Roberts. He's looked the best as a utility guy. They've got Jackson in camp, too, but he's not looked quite as well. So this is one of the reasons they signed Ryan Roberts. He's a veteran guy. He can play short, third, second, if they need be. But I really think if you held a gun to my head, I think Infante's going to be fine for opening day, and Colon will be the utility guy. And I really think they're just going to keep a three-man bench and go with eight guys in the bullpen.
Well, I won't hold a gun to your head over.
But I reserve the right to change that opinion a week from now. So
okay, yeah, absolutely. All things are fluid. This and really any time of year in baseball. It's always a fluid situation. You mentioned the amount of games played by Infante last year, and Alcides Escobar. He says he's angling for the Royals' consecutive games record, which, as you point out, is not a Cal Ripken-type streak, but it is still something he's shooting for. And between Escobar and Salvador Perez behind the plate and all the games and innings he logs, does that – durability come at any expense for those two guys, in your opinion, especially coming off the late run that the Royals had last year?
Well, it definitely does for Sal. I mean, they have got to adjust their thinking on that, and they're going to. I mean, and that's coming from not just Ned. Ned wants to do it, too. And I think it comes from higher up in the organization, too. They've got to find a way to get Sal rested because come September, I mean, if they don't have a comfortable lead or anything like that, he's going to have to play just about every day like he did last year. That's their best chance of winning. So they've got to get him well-rested for that run. They didn't do that last year, and they kind of paid the price because his numbers just tanked miserably down the stretch in September and in the playoffs. So Esky's a different cat, though. He's a guy that's got 0% body fat. You know, I'm really jealous. I hate him. He's just one of those genetic freaks where he just – he can do it. I mean, he can play 162 a year and not wear down. I mean, his numbers actually got better in September and October. So he goes ahead and plays winter ball, you know, and he just never stops. He just loves to play. He's one of those guys. And he's never had any long-term injury in his career. And it's not, you know, it's not as demanding a position as catcher, but, you know, shortstops take a physical toll, too. They got guys sliding in and trying to leap them and everything like that, so it can be demanding, and he's got a lot of diving plays and stuff like that, but I think he's definitely a candidate to go all 162, and Ned even mentioned that as well. He goes, why not? You know, the guy just doesn't, he's mentally ready every day. He doesn't take days off and mentally, and just he's one of those rare guys who just has the body type that he can handle it.
Well, speaking of guys with probably 0% body fat, Alex Gordon recovered from wrist
another
surgery.
One, yeah.
And, another physical freak and a guy who puts your diet to shame. But how's he progressing? I know he took some live BP the other day, so that's a good sign. And how many at-bats would they like to see from him this spring to know, okay, he's good to go?
They don't need that many. He's going to continue to work out in a minor league camp. He actually played an inter-squad game yesterday. And had a home run, a double, and a single, I think, in five at-bats. So they'll continue to use him in the minor league camp in games today, but there's some more games that will start tomorrow. And he'll play in the field, too, which he's been doing in batting practice anyway. He's been getting his reps out there. And I think he'll be fine. He's reported no discomfort. If he gets into a major league game, I mean, a Cactus League game, by the end of next week, he'll have a full week of games. He'll be fine by opening day. I don't think that's a concern to them. He's gotten plenty of reps hitting, and his wrist has responded. Interestingly, too, his biggest concern was whether or not his wrist could withstand a hard check. And it has so far, so he's been very encouraged by that. It's not necessarily just making contact. It's the swings you don't make contact that can kind of mess up a wrist injury like that. And sort of no discomfort. So we'll probably spend the rest of this week in the minor league camp, and then they'll start exploring the idea of getting him some Cactus League games in.
You sense, obviously there's guys like Gordon and Infante who are, significantly trying to get ready for opening day, but now that we're at the midway points of the exhibition schedule, are you sensing that antsiness in the clubhouse, especially among position players in general, as we get into kind of these dog days of spring training?
Yeah, as you know, I mean, it's like I think we've all hit our spring wall at this point. Ned mentioned that the other day. It's like every day is Groundhog Day. You know, you get up at 5 a.m. and you sit and bake in the sun for 12 hours, and then he says, I go home and I go back to the hotel, I lay on the couch for a while, and then I fall asleep, and the next thing, bam, it's 5 a.m. again, I got to do the same thing, you know. So it's like you get to that point. At this point, it's March, whatever, 8th, and you're just kind of anxious to get the season going and get some meaningful games. I mean, there haven't been any, major roster decisions to make. There's some stuff in the bullpen they have to clean up, but not position players, they're all set there. So they're just trying to avoid injury and get ready for the White Sox on April 6th. So it's I think most of the guys are like that too. You go through different stages of spring training. At first you're happy to be there, and then you can't wait for the games to start, and then after a couple of weeks of games you go, okay, let's go home, let's go back to Kansas City, let's play. So I think they're at that stage right now.
Yeah. Well, hang in there, everybody. We're getting really close, and camp is winding down there in Surprise, and Jeffrey Flanagan is all over it for Royals.com, so be sure to check out his work. And thanks for listening in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.